All right, folks, welcome back to yet another episode of Fresh Juice, an indie game podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Tommy Fresh, and joined as always, it is
Maddie Juice. What's going on, everybody? If you search for indie game reviews on Apple Podcasts, we're who you found, hopefully. So welcome to the show. There's no review today, but what do we have on the menu for everybody, Tommy?
Oh, you know, it was a slow week for indie games, and we're just going to be talking about some games that came out or coming out this week. We do have one on the slate for next week, a little co-op action, which should be interesting. But we're going to just catch up. Nice little easy peasy lemon squeezy episode for you all today. And we'll be talking about a little bit of news, some games coming out, answer some listener questions, and then head on home. But yeah. First, how's it going? What's up? What's new since last week?
Yeah, it's going good. Had New Year's, obviously, pretty low key because we got the baby, so we're just chilling at home. We watched Knives Out, the new one, which was good. Enjoyed that. Also watched Stranger Things, not as good. What else? Just kind of hanging at home, getting chores done, like cleaned up the garage and stuff. I went to IKEA, which is always fun. I swear, IKEA is like, you go to one and it's like going to an airport. Like, it's so big and they got like they're in their own world there. But I picked up a table that I built for a 3D printer that I'm getting, hopefully eventually, whenever FedEx decides to deliver it. And then we went over to a buddy's house over the weekend. You were there as well. We did some board games and such, or card games and Jenga, and then watched some football, which is good. Had some good food. It was a fun time. And also the baby now is having solid foods. So she's had sweet potato. She's had applesauce, like mushed up apples. She's going to have peas. And she's experimenting with it. It's very funny to watch a baby eat for the first time, because we give her let her grab the spoon and she just like chokes on it. Like, essentially, she doesn't understand, you know, how far it needs to go into her mouth in order to eat something. That's been fun, kind of introducing her to new foods. It's very, it's like fruits and veggies right now. So, I can't wait to like give her like a lemon, you know, and just see what her face looks like, all that sort of stuff. But that's been cool. A good development in her development. So there we go.
Sweet.
Yeah. But also playing a bunch of games, I've been, I got the Steam Deck, right? And like, it's not that I haven't wanted to play it. It's just like, when I think of playing it, I'm like, oh, it's upstairs, it's plugged in, and I'm just tired and I just don't want to get it. So now I'm like forcing myself to be like, all right, whatever floor I'm on, that's the floor that the Steam Deck is on. Because I've started doing that. I'm like, oh, I we'll talk about this in a little bit, like what we picked up during the Steam Winter Sale. But like, I've been playing like Outer Wilds. I started playing some He Is Coming, Death Howl. I started Half-Life 1, and it's just been great being able to just kind of pick up and play. But for whatever reason, I was just being too lazy. So over the past few days, I have forced myself to keep the Steam Deck near, and it's great. We're watching a TV show, my wife gets up to use the bathroom, boom, I'm on the Steam Deck. I'm getting a little bit of Half-Life in, right? A little for a few minutes. It's been fun doing that. So I've been doing that a little bit more. But yeah, back to work today. Sucks, but is what it is. And, hopefully it'll be a good year. But what about you? What's been going on in your world, Tommy?
Just kind of... also did New Year's low-key at a buddy's house. They have 2-year-olds, or it was two couples that had a 2-year-old. So, like, they were more concerned about the baby getting to sleep. And we were just, relaxing and chilling. But it was a good time. And then painted. I mean, if you're watching this on YouTube or Spotify, you'll notice that the color of this wall is different from last episode. This is the same color that I had in the old studio. And we painted a couple rooms this week. And now we're going to do some floors down here next. But I hate painting. It's the worst. It feels just like you're never going to get it perfect. And I think that just kills me. It really does. But
especially cool. Like the little edges too, you know, I'm like, I can never get it exactly. And then like you get a little bit where you're not supposed to. And I'm always battling of like, do I just leave it? Like, I got to go get the white. And like, do I even care enough? Who's going to see it other than me?
Exactly. Right? Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Like, and for like the first like 4 months, you're just looking at it every single time, really. But that was cool. And then, went over to our buddy's house, Bags, hung out. And, you know, my PC in my office was out of commission all week because we were prepping the, like, paint and stuff. So I didn't get the game as much, but I did get a really sweet real Game Boy. Ooh. Not a... from a certain co-host for Christmas. That was very cool. So the Mio, which is pretty sweet. It's got a bunch of games loaded on there. Game Boy Advance, Game Boy Color. It's very, very cool. Was playing around with that last night. I got a dock for my Steam Deck, and I set it up, and then my controller just died. Like stopped working. But I just got a new controller in the mail today from Amazon. Yeah, I hate Amazon, but it is convenient. They came through and I got a nice new one. It works. Nice. I played the game today that I'm going to be recommending a little bit. And also, what else is new? Yeah, it was work again today, coming back to work. But it was like everybody I work with was just like, it was almost like they forgot how to like work over break, which I totally get, because the past like 4 days, I was like kind of getting like anxious. I feels like I haven't worked in like months.
I'm still getting paid for this.
Still getting paid, and just like, what the heck is going on? And you know, I'm gonna hit the ground running a little bit. We have a big release at work this week, so it's just a little bit of that. But I'm excited. I'm going away in 2 weeks to Columbus, Ohio. Not to brag, for a Flesh and Blood tournament, which would be cool. Haven't been able to play a lot of Flesh and Blood since I moved, so excited to get back into that. But other than that, it's just rocking and rolling, watching some TV, watching some sports, stuff like that. Into hurling, just kind of catching up on a bunch of hurling matches that I missed over the past few weeks. I don't know. I'm ready to play some more games. I'm ready to play the game we're going to play for next week, which is Doom Crawl.
Yeah.
For anybody who's wondering, but it only just came out today as we're recording, so we'll be hitting that soon. Now, we do have a little bit of news. We're going to have more news later, but a huge piece of news. Yes, that's right. You heard that right. We have a Discord.
Fresh Juice
Discord. It is in the show notes below. It's a great place to hang out, chill. Get in there. You'll be updated on free deals. You'll be updated on episodes. You'll be updated on food.
When I forget to post an episode, that'll be posted in there.
I did notice that.
I was like, because it was supposed to go up on the 31st and it was the 2nd. And I was like, I feel like I forgot to do something. And then I'm like, I don't know. I think I was on Spotify and I just saw like our logo and I was like, I just ran upstairs and posted it. So apologies for that, folks. But New Year's was even though it was low key, you know, it just got away from me. But so if you know, you ever notice an episode's missing, the Discord is a great place to go and berate me and make sure I post it. So there you go.
Now, this week there are a decent amount of releases that came out. But first, I did want to cover Winterboro, which had come out last month, or actually November. But they just came out with the Winter Solstice update. I don't think we ever really talked about this game, but there was a decent amount of hype around it. Kind of a cozy, like, adventure game with some crafting and stuff like that. I remember seeing the trailer for this, and I thought it looked so cool. I actually might pick it up because I think it's on sale right now.
Yeah,
for another couple of days. Might play it with Lady Fresh, see if she's interested. But yeah, this game, I just love the way it looks. It looks super cozy. It reminds me of like a lot of the like children's stories like you get read to as a child. So yeah. Shout out Winterboro. Looking cool. Very positive reviews. 1,800 of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Looks cool. And do you know what the new update brings?
I don't. I didn't even read it. I thought that it came out because for whatever reason, I thought I had it on my wish list and I didn't.
Mm.
And I just thought, and I guess because of this update, it showed up on new releases. And I was like, oh, this came out. And then I saw that it has an update. What's in the new update?
Yeah, it looks like new story and quests, some lights and decorations, holiday clothing like cosmetics, cooking recipes, furniture, and then it looks like a little quality of life update with a map feature. Based on feedback, they added a new map feature to help you navigate the Northlands more easily during your journey. And then they give a little sneak peek at the items, plus some fixes and improvements. So it seems like a pretty good update. I don't know what the issue with the map was, but it's good to know that they listened to feedback and updated it. This is actually a game that I know we've chatted about before, but I guess like flew under my radar. I thought, or maybe offline. I don't know if we did.
Or maybe it was in a triple I. Maybe the first triple I?
Yeah, it could have been, yeah. It's because it just sounds familiar, but I'll have to download the demo and check it out. Playable on the Steam Deck, too. But yeah, it's survival too, so it seems up my alley,
dude.
Look at that,
that's
Winterboro.
On you,
yeah.
But next is a game called Gambler's Table. What's the deal with this one?
Yeah, so this one popped up. It doesn't come out technically this week. It comes out January 11th. But I just want to talk about it because I saw it the other day. It's a new incremental game. Where you toss coins to earn money, one of those just kind of seems like a number kind of go up game. But you build, like, it almost reminded me of like Norp Apologue because you're building like an army of these little guys that like flip the coins for you. And then you can buy better coins, get upgrades, you know, you got your little helpers there. And it, I don't know, it just seemed pretty cool. So I'm going to probably try out the demo. I'm hoping the price point is good when it comes out in 5 days. But yeah, Gambler's Table just seems, I don't know, these incremental games just like get me where I'm like, now I'm like, I want to check them out. They're usually pretty cheap. And this one just kind of, I don't know, just seems cool to me. And I love the little dudes that help you. So yeah, something to keep your eye on.
My guess is $4.99. With a 20% discount on launch for $3.99.
Put it in. You sign up for a Polymarket account? Did you just bet on that?
Wait, this is where we cut to some graph from Kalshi or something like that. You've been getting that? Like every single, I'm watching videos on TikTok all the time, and they're just like, all of a sudden it's like, well, if you look at Kalshi. And you're just like, what? Shut up. Like, I don't want to look at, like,
yeah.
Why
yeah.
are we looking at this?
I know.
But anyway.
I get it all the time. Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
But yeah,
that is,
cool.
If you use the code FRESH on Kalshi. No, I'm kidding. that's a joke. But yeah, no, this looks really sweet. I mean, I put it in my wish list too. You know, I'll let you play the demo and let you tell me if it's good, but it does look like a lot of fun and very silly, especially when like you get all those guys flipping the coins. So pretty neat. Now next is Past Fate.
Yeah. This one I've kept my eye on for a little bit. I'll be honest. There's a chance this is just terrible. But it's supposed to be an MMO that's in like a medieval fantasy world. Kind of gave me like survival-ish sort of vibes. Honestly, looking at the trailer, I'm like, there's nothing going on here other than walking.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's still like, it's kind of got the theme of something that I would be into. It almost reminds me, I'm like, is this like an Elden Ring-y MMO kind of thing? But I've seen a few people mention Past Fate. It's going to be in early access coming out January 7th. I don't know, just figured it'd be worth including in here, but there's a good chance there's like going to be not much to do in this game because the trailer doesn't really sell it for me, but I'm going to just keep my eye on it.
Well, yeah, looking at the Steam page, every single screenshot, there's nothing going on.
Yeah.
Just,
and it's crazy because it's an MMO. You would think you would want to promote like a lot of players, right? They show the chat in the bottom left here. There's no, there's no test chats of like, hey, you know, like want to sell something or like, it's very odd, but at the same time, I'm like, I don't know. I could get suckered into this if like, if it comes out with like very positive reviews, I'll be like, maybe we got to try it.
I mean, like I'm just looking for like an enemy. Like, yeah. I don't even need other players. Just like, but I don't know.
There you go. There's like one. A player. There you go. There's one.
Okay. Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't even know.
Yeah. I mean, damage is being dealt there. So,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, could be cool. Like, you know, not really sure. There was an open alpha playtest. I wonder if there's any comments on that. Let's see.
Yeah,
discuss.
Two comments.
Please some fix nudity. Controller. Yeah, I don't know what that's all about.
Okay. People seem upset. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see.
Well, we will see. Yeah.
After that, we have Fickle Card Legends.
Now, this one looks cool. All right. It's a side-scrolling. I don't know if it'll be good, but it's a side-scrolling, non-turn-based card battle game. And it's called Fickle Card Legend. But I just liked it because your character is a card.
That is kind of cool.
Kind of seems like a cool concept. I don't know. Looks like there's some like Chinese in the bottom left. I don't know if this is like a game that's already been released, maybe. Now it's releasing in the US, perhaps. But I don't know. That just, honestly, that artistic part of the game just kind of caught my eye where I'm like, am I playing as a card? Is it just an aesthetic thing? Or like, is there this actually going to be like a deck builder kind of game? Yeah, I don't know, just something different a little bit that I figured I'd include here. And they have a free demo, so might need to try it.
So funny enough, I like when you scroll down to games that like I guess have demos or whatever, there's like curators have reviewed this or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like a curator has thrown this into a group of things and it's all the AI police and games that use AI.
Oh, this game extensively utilizes AI technology and character design, UI, visual effect. I'm not playing this. I apologize. Yeah, this is the whole game looks like it was made with AI.
It's possible.
Yeah. Well,
they forgot to tell the AI that cards don't move like that.
Yeah, right? It was never supposed to be like that. Wow.
But that's pretty funny.
Yeah.
I mean, concept-wise, interesting.
Yeah.
But like the problem with games like that, right? Like you want a card game to be balanced, right? Yeah. Like are they doing any balancing? Or is this just like random, like, hey, we AI like generated this thing. You're just going to go around and like just kill things or something like that.
Yeah. That's why I'm not sure. It almost feels like this is like, it's not, it has nothing to do with cards at all. You know, they just look like them. So yeah, I didn't realize it was a heavily AI generated game, which now looking at the screenshots kind of makes a lot of sense. Right. to be honest. So it's also very interesting that like there are certain things in English and certain things not in English on the same screen, like QWERTY. Right, like the QWERT on the bottom, but then the cards are in, I guess, Chinese or something. So it's like, well, what's happening there? Shouldn't it be the same language?
Yeah.
I don't know how that works. Yeah, I'm not sure, but yeah.
But the next one here, though, does kind of look a little bit more interesting. A Pokemon-like, a battle, or a creature collector with battling. Look kind of interesting. These are, you know, funny enough, when I looked up this game, it looks like the second one is also supposed to come out this year. I don't know if that's true or it's just like a placeholder.
Evo Creo is the name of the game, right?
Yeah, yeah. Evo Creo 2 available Q1 2026. I don't know what the difference is.
Evo Creo 2. Oh, yeah, look at that. Wow.
I don't know what's going on here. But
interesting.
Yeah. I mean, they look like distinctly different games.
They do, yeah. And honestly,
like one is more like Game Boy Advance.
This one reminded me more of like, I was like, oh, is this like Pokemon Stadium or something? Evo Creo? But like you look through more gameplay and you're like, okay, this is more like a Pokemon game. That's just kind of what the battle sequence looks like. Yeah, interesting. This one also, Evo Creo, seems to have more. It's got a video trailer, got some more information there than the second one. But yeah, that's very interesting. That doesn't make any sense. I'm adding games in here that don't make sense, folks. All right, so just keep your eyes peeled.
Folks, this is what this time of year is like, though, for like all games almost, right? Yeah. Not even just indie games, just like it's just not a time people are spending money. So
yeah,
it's very interesting. Now, what was next? Death Machine. I know this game's legit because I've seen a decent amount of this, and I think it's on my wish list. This is a Metroidvania, you know? Why not? It was a big year for Metroidvanias last year. Let's keep it going. This one does look pretty cool, though.
Yeah, this one seems more fleshed out than some of the other ones we were looking at. It kind of gives me, like, Dead Cells kind of art style vibes. It has a roguelite item system. It just seems cool. The combat seems pretty snappy. It doesn't have a demo, unfortunately. I was hoping it did, but it comes out on the 6th, so it'll already be out by the time you're listening to this. It just seems cool. Death Machine. I don't really have much more to say. It also looks like it's a solo dev, perhaps. Philip Frolic?
Yeah.
So that's pretty impressive if, you know, the game ends up being solid. But the trailers look pretty sick and art style looks awesome. So, yeah, I don't know. Death Machine seems pretty cool. If you're into Metroidvanias, it's probably already on your list. But I'm interested in this one.
I do like that the main character is wearing like basically a Hollow Knight / the Hornet style mask or whatever.
Yeah.
But hey, listen, it's the GOAT. You might as well, you know, imitation's the greatest form of flattery, right? So really cool. Hopefully that one's good. You know, Metroidvania fans, they're very particular about their games.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll know based on the reviews of this game if it's for the Metroidvania fans. Now, going to next, you posted about this one in the group chat, right?
Yes, I did. So this is a game called Dreadmist, which comes out on January 9th. And I'm actually pretty interested in this one. It's kind of like an old school looking fantasy RPG MMO where you get to choose from 4 playable classes, level up, farm gear, run dungeons that are PvE, and you can fight other players as even PvP. It's tab target combat, which I'm not super familiar with, but I guess I'll figure it out because this game is free to play, Dreadmist. Mm-hmm. And from what I saw on Twitter, the creator of the game, who's a solo dev, has no intentions to monetize anything with the game because they said they're already set financially. So they literally just did this as like a passion project, I suppose. And I don't know, it kind of gives me like RuneScape-y vibes a little bit. I don't know, it just piqued my interest. You know, since I've been getting more and more into like MMOs, a free-to-play one with no monetization that, you know, kind of looks pretty cool is, just seems pretty sweet. So Yeah.
It reminds me of, was it like Might and Magic? Is that what
Yeah.
I'm thinking
Yeah,
of?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw you posted it and I threw it right on my wish list because yeah, I mean, this is the way I feel like if you want to break it into the MMO game, like free to play is the way to do it. You know, and it's nice to see that there's no plans for any monetization, but you know, whatever. Like I think it's totally fair to add like
Yeah.
aesthetics and stuff like that that you can buy. But yeah, this one, I mean, hey, listen, I'm rooting for this one. When's this one come out?
The 9th, I believe. So
Ninth.
just in a few
Cool.
days, yeah, later this week.
I'm keeping an eye on that. And then finally, Star Rupture is the last game that is on our radar for the week.
Yeah, so this one's right up my alley, for sure. So this is coming out in early access on January 6th, so tomorrow from when we're recording this. And I actually already have access to this. The devs were kind enough to give me early access, so I've already played a good amount of it, made a video on it as well. So check it out at Manny Gorm on YouTube. But this one is honestly, even though it's early access, it feels pretty good. In so far at least, like in the kind of early game, it's a open world, kind of base building, survival game. It almost like think like people have compared it to Satisfactory, but like with combat. So it's all about kind of automating things at your base and then going out and exploring. It's co-op as well, and it's kind of got like a story integrated too. Like the characters kind of talk, they have a sense of humor and they're talking to like people that are up at the space station or wherever they are. And then there's also this, it's called Star Rupture. There's this rupture system, which I haven't experienced yet in the game, but it's essentially, I guess, like an exploding star that kind of resets things on the world. So you're kind of always getting fresh, I guess, I don't know if it's regenerating. You know, the environment, or I'm not 100% sure on how it works yet, but I've been really enjoying it. There actually seems to be a good amount of hype around it. I've seen a lot of people say they played the play test for it, really enjoyed it. So I think this is kind of like a sleeper survival game that's coming out, early in the year, and I think it'll be pretty successful personally. And then this is also from Creepy Jar, the developers. They also made Green Hell, which is a pretty well-received survival game that I also picked up recently. So, yeah, I've been really enjoying my time with it. I've never really done a lot of automation stuff in survival games. I never got super into Satisfactory or Factorio, but this one's been a lot of fun so far. So, I've been enjoying. I highly recommend Star Rupture, and I'll tell you too, which is great. The game is releasing for $16, and then
Yeah, I just saw that.
it's gonna be only $20 at launch. And I saw there were some people commenting on some videos I made about Star Rupture. They were like, "Oh, this is gonna be a $60 game. Who would spend that like type of money?" And I'm like, "You guys got it all wrong." I just couldn't say anything yet. I was like, "This game is only $16, so pretty. I think it's 100% worth it if you're into survival games. Check it out, Star Rupture." Pretty cool concept and seems pretty well made. So there you go. That's my pitch for Star Rupture.
I mean, it looks great. Like, it's just like a beautiful looking game.
Yeah.
I love the logo. I mean, I think if I just saw that like banner,
Oh,
I'd be
yeah.
like, oh, what's that? That seems really cool. So, yeah, not my jam typically, but definitely, it makes sense that you want to play it. I'll tell you
Yeah.
that much.
Well,
But,
they're gonna be it's early access and they're planning to add deck building into the game at one by 1.0.
yeah, right. Yeah, right. Come on.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, sweet, sweet. Those are all the games that we kind of had on our radar. Obviously, Dune Crawl is what we're playing for next week, which does come out. It came out today. Kind of excited to play that one.
Yeah.
Had my eye on that one for like, I think like over a year now. I think I put it on my wish list and should be interesting. So moving on. It's the end of the winter Steam sale, the Steam winter sale. What did you grab? What did you enjoy?
Let's see. So I picked up a few games. I didn't go crazy. I recently picked up Outer Wilds, which was like 60% off, and apparently is like one of the greatest games of all time. I always hear that. Our buddy Pat has played it and says that like, it's amazing. I will tell you one thing. I'm only about 45 minutes into the game. Soundtrack is unbelievable. One of the best soundtracks I think I've ever heard, and just truly pulls you into that world. I've been enjoying it. I will say there is a learning curve with like figuring out what to do, but I think that's like part of the game. So I picked up Outer Wilds. That's been fun. I also picked up Half-Life 1, and then I realized because I was trying to, you know, it was like $2. I realized, you know, I like subtitles in like my story games generally. That game is so old, it doesn't even have that at all. There might be a mod for it, but there's no subtitles at all. And then when I was doing research to see if I could like add it with a mod, people were like, oh, there's a fan-made remaster of Half-Life 1 called Black Mesa. And that was on sale. It was like 75% off. It was like $4 or $5. So I just picked that up, and I've been playing Black Mesa. It's got subtitles. It's got remastered graphics. I think it even says that they kind of like not fixed the end of the game, but just kind of streamlined it. I guess there's maybe some, you know, some kind of dated things that are happening in the original Half-Life towards the end of the game. So they kind of modernized it a little bit. So I've been really enjoying playing Black Mesa, Half-Life 1. I also picked up Green Hell, which I started a little bit. That was also only like $2. Maybe I did pick up a good amount of things. I also picked up Scare Ritual, which is like I've had my eye on it for a while. It's essentially a like standalone Call of Duty Zombies game, but it's a roguelite. So I've started playing that. It's fine so far. I've got like an hour in it. And it's fine. And then let's see, I picked up two other games, Melvor Idol, which is like an idol.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
RuneScape-y kind of game. It's okay so far. It's just bars going up, basically. Mm-hmm. Play a little bit of it. And then the last one I picked up, that I'm really excited to play is Mass Effect Legendary Edition. This was like $5 and it comes with all three games. It's not just the first Mass Effect. And I've heard great things about Mass Effect. I've never played it. I know nothing about Mass Effect at all. And it's playable on the Steam Deck. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to just pick this up. I'm going to find some time to play it. But it comes with over 40 DLCs, like everything's all packed into one. And it was like $5 or $6 for it. I was like, that's a no brainer. So that was the last thing I picked up, that I haven't started yet, but I'm excited to hop in and play. So yeah, it was honestly, I didn't expect to pick up so many things during the Steam sale, but as the days went by, I kept seeing like better deals. And I was like, you know what? I want to pick it up. Cause I'm probably going to play it before the next Steam sale. So, it was a good one for me. It was definitely a heftier one than I was thinking, but yeah.
Nice. You really, you know, took advantage of it. I feel like I didn't. I only picked up a couple titles. I think I mentioned them last time, but I picked up a game that I'm going to recommend later. I also picked up Dark Quest 4 and I played a little bit of that. That's pretty cool. I want to get more into it. I guess I didn't even realize that. I think it's based on like an old board game, which is like an old RPG board game. And then I also picked up Nice to Yeet You, which I haven't had a chance to play yet. But yeah, I only picked up three titles. I really wasn't on my my PC a lot over the holiday break, but I'm sure there'll be another Steam sale soon. And I'm usually just buying games like anyway. So, yeah. But it would be nice to get some stuff on sale, that's for sure. Yeah.
It is nice now, that a lot of the indie games we play, they do launch sales anyway.
Yeah,
like Doom Crawl, right? That's on sale. Mm-hmm. So there
that's
we go.
Sale. Money's on sale. But other than that, there's a little bit of news. First is in Steam's awards, I guess it's all votes, Hollow Knight Silksong won Game of the Year. Can you believe it?
Oh my God.
43 million votes.
That's it? There's 43 million?
It's crazy.
That is crazy. And I honestly feel like the crazier thing here is that there are 43 million, at least 43 million people on Steam. I don't even know how many people are on Steam, you know, but 43 million of them voted for Silksong, which is amazing. I wonder how much of a difference it was between the runner-up and Silksong. Because I imagine if they're pointing out that it was 43 million votes, like the next one had to be like way off of that. But yeah, really, I mean, great for Silksong. You know, not super surprising that it would win, but I think, you know, I don't know when these votes took place, but maybe it was after Expedition 33 won. And so people were probably a little, they were like, all right, well, we're not going to give it to that, right? I don't know. But
and then the AI controversy could have, you know, kind of pushed people to Team Cherry. And I mean, listen, I think this game deserves all the hype. And it just is that good. So not surprised this one. But, the you know, I would have thought maybe Expedition 33 would have gotten there too. But I think people... Once something becomes the best, right, like wins all the awards and stuff like that, that's when the contrarians come out. Oh, and then there's also when a lot of people come to the game to play it and they realize, I don't even really like this. I don't like, you know, this isn't my style of game, yada, yada, yada. So there could be that weird backlash, like after, like the pendulum swings the other way where, you know, a game like Silksong is, you know, Old Faithful.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also think that, like, personally, I think a game like a platformer like Silksong probably appeals to more people than Expedition 33 anyway, right? And, you know, I'll be honest too. I've started Expedition 33 probably three times, and it's hard for me to get into it for some reason. I feel like I just got to stick it out until I like start understanding why people love it, but I it hasn't hooked me yet, basically. And I've probably played like an hour of it three times just from the start, because I always forget what happened. So we'll see what happens, but
I do have a theory about that. Like, I think that, like, there's a certain, like, group of gamers that's like pretty prevalent right now, which is explains a lot of like the winners of Game of the Year over the past years, that really just want like a cinematic experience, right? Like a movie experience where it's like this, like an epic tale, you know, getting told to them, where, like, you know, we're always talking about, you know, story, like we want something told, like Death Howl's a great example, right? We want something told through the gameplay, really, rather than, like, that's just what we like.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I'm thinking back at, like, Ocarina of Time, right? It has, like, a big story that's happening, right? I don't know if it's the greatest story, but it's, like, it's just kind of, like, archetypal, right? Legend of Zelda.
Yeah.
But, like, there's cutscenes, but, like, they're so minimal, right? Like, when like, they're showing the Triforce getting made, like, there's just, like, a few blurbs of like text.
Yeah.
But there's like, it's very effective, right? Where, you know, I think some people want like it to be, because I remember I had a coworker at the time of Expedition 33 coming out, just like talking about the story and like, oh, like when so-and-so said this, I was like, I don't know if I've ever talked about a video game like that. It's more like, that Joker was so sick when I got it in that combination with other Jokers and, you know, yada, yada, yada. So
yeah,
maybe that's just my theory here.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think you're wrong. You know, I mean, there definitely are certain games where, like, I like this, like, there's cool story elements where I'm like, I'm not really playing. Like, I'm just thinking of like The Last of Us or God of War, but like, I'm more into like the gameplay side of those. But I think you bring up a good point, because the game like Dispatch, right, like recently came out, people love it, and there's like barely any gameplay at all in that. Really, it's just you're kind of, from what I understand, like choosing things, just making choices, almost like a Telltale game, And it's kind of just being told to you. And that did so well, you know, that, yeah, there's definitely a group of people out there that like just want a story kind of told to them. And that's fine, you know, nothing wrong with that. But I also enjoy a story through the gameplay typically more than, you know, a lot of cutscenes or something. There's definitely been games where I'm like, are these cutscenes going to end? Like, when is the game going to start? So, yeah, definitely get that.
So, yeah, like, and I think like another good example of a game that does really good optional slash storytelling through gameplay is like Hades, I think is like a game that like really nails it.
Yeah.
Right. Like where you can experience as much of the story of that game as you want. You could really get dive into it, or you can just have it told to you through you just playing, which I think is, which is great as well. Now, we did find one list of, well, there was a couple lists, but we picked one list of some indie games we need to keep on our radar. This is from inverse.com. Starting with Pathologic 3, which I don't even know if I knew about the other two. But I guess this is more of a sim of sorts. Like a this is probably what we were just talking about. A game that like really is like you're just experiencing the story.
Yeah, definitely not something up my alley. It comes out January 9th as well, so just right around the corner. But I guess people like the first two. It's an immersive sim with surprising depth. And then apparently it says all three games retell the same story from different perspectives, which is kind of interesting. So you can start with this game without having to play the other two, which is a really interesting concept. But yeah, Pathologic 3, you know, it's a game. And I don't know.
I guess
know
we got to keep our eye. We got to keep it on our radar.
We do. We do.
And then a point-and-click adventure, Perfect Tide, Station to Station. Point-and-clicks. We played one point-and-click this past year, and we did enjoy it a lot.
Yeah, and this is a sequel to Perfect Tide. It just came out in 2022. It says it follows Mara, a teenager in the year 2000, living on an idyllic island but longing to get away. I feel like it's pretty interesting having a game that takes place in the year 2000, as if that's a while ago. That can't be that long ago, right?
Only a quarter of a century.
Oh no. but yeah, it seems cool. It comes out January 22nd, and people really enjoyed the demo apparently. So just another one to kind of keep an eye on.
Yeah, and then the next one, this is a game I've heard a decent amount of, is Cairn. This is a mountain climbing game. I guess it's mostly a sim, but like really just looks beautiful. I think there is like when I think of like a game like Death Stranding.
Yeah.
I think it was inevitable we would get more games like that. That is just a different form of transportation.
Yeah.
And this one's mountain climbing.
Yeah, I talked a little bit about this one in like, I made a video about like some survival games coming out in January. And this is kind of in that category. It's not like a traditional survival because it is more of a sim. But it is definitely a game with a lot of hype around it. And I know you also have to control your limbs separately. So it's kind of like there's other games where that happens. So that's, some people are really into that. Personally, I find that more frustrating than anything, but some people really like those sort of games. And also, it's hard to see here, but like the backpack system in this game seems kind of interesting too, where it almost like when you go to your backpack inventory, like everything's kind of jumbled together as if you just kind of threw it in there. So I guess you need to manage that somehow as well. Seems kind of interesting. So this will definitely be one to keep an eye on. I don't know if I'll play it, but I'm curious to see if it like lives up to the hype of what people, you know, want to see. And I there's been a few other, I think, climbing games as well, but this one by far, I think, has been the most hyped that I've heard about. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know if I'll play it either, but it does look amazing. It's like, I don't know if I can ever get behind those kinds of games, but This could be one. We'll see.
Yeah.
Next is Don't Stop Girly Pop. First of all, great name.
Yeah.
This game looks insane. It's like crazy chaotic aesthetics. It's like I'm on the Steam page right now, and just you have like a flip phone that like some weird stuff is happening on. It's all pinks and purples and neon colors, but it's a shooter game. I am not really sure what to think of this game, but you know, listen,
don't stop.
This is also like early 2000s aesthetic. So like kind of funny. There's two games that are talking about the early 2000s. Is that the next big thing? Like, I think I just saw an iPad Nano.
Yeah. Yeah. An iPad Nano or iPod. with a little triangular trackpad here. Maybe that is the next big thing. I don't know. I've seen some games in like the 90s aesthetic as well start popping up a bit more. But I wouldn't be surprised, you know, there's a group of people out here that find this, you know, this is their 80s, right? Mm-hmm. God knows we got plenty of games from that era. So, I don't know if this is my kind of game. It seems like a kind of like an arena shooter, but, definitely has, you know, it's fully embraced its own theme. Right. And it knows what it is, it seems like. So Don't Stop Girly Pop, coming out this month.
Next, we have Demon Tides, which is the sequel to, what's the name of the original one?
Demon Turf.
It's like a 3D platformer. It looks pretty sick. If you hop over to the Steam page, feels like it could be kind of a winner in that genre. I mean, this is a hard genre to like really do. I think we talked about that with what the hell was that called? What the hell was that? We just talked about it last. It was our biggest disappointment last year. I already forgot about it.
Oh, our biggest disappointment was Ruffy and the Riverside.
Ruffy and the Riverside. Yeah, like, it's a tough genre to nail. This one actually looks pretty sick.
It does, yeah. It kind of gives me like Sonic Adventure vibes, kind of a little bit. It seems pretty cool. Actually, I've never heard of Demon Turf either, so I wonder if that's any similar to this, or if this is like a big change for that franchise.
No, it looks like another 3D platformer, a little bit more of an illustrated kind of aesthetic, but looks pretty good too. It's got very positive at 508. I guess not a lot of people played it, but it is published by Playtonic, who published like Yooka-Laylee games like that. So they're big on that genre.
Cool. Yeah. Also, it says releasing on PC. I wonder if this has been available on something else before. But Demon Tides looks cool.
Demon Tides.
And then this next Slay game. No one even knows about this next one. It's a little underground game, Slay the Spire 2. You know, probably will do amazing. I'd say.
Yeah, I'm excited for this.
It's going to do pretty good. Yeah. So hopefully it actually comes out this year. I mean, I know it says March 2026, but I know it was delayed. But
we'll see. I mean, I'm excited for it. You know, we talked about this a little bit last year, I guess it was last year when we recorded it.
Yeah.
Last episode. If this just is managed to just be a better Slay the Spire, right? I think we'll all be pretty happy.
Yeah.
You know. Hopefully they try some innovation, but, you know, you don't want them to stray too far. But, yeah, it should be interesting. Next is a game called Abyss X-Zero. Now, this seems like kind of a weeb game, if I had to guess. I haven't even looked.
What's interesting about this as well, like, this is a very interesting list because a lot of these things are coming out in January. And then this one, this is supposed to be for 2026. Doesn't even have a date yet. So how do we know it's coming out this year? I don't know. But it's a 3D Metroidvania. But yeah, it seems like it's kind of got some weeby vibes there. I don't know.
I
I don't
just
know
don't want
much
to be
about this.
tricked, like
Yeah.
Beyond Citadel, you
Could
know?
be another Beyond Citadel. It kind of has like little Souls-y vibes too. Like you're
Yeah.
doing these boss battles and stuff. I do like the art style in general. It's just the characters aren't too bad. They're not too, out of our like preferences, but yeah, interesting. I have to
Man,
check this
whenever you
out.
see an X in between two words, you just know this is going to be anime inspired somehow. But hey, listen, different strokes for different folks. Next game is Mina the Hollower. This is by the people who created Shovel Knight. This game is probably going to be awesome because Shovel Knight's awesome. I'm excited for this one. This one is like kind of closer to the Legend of Zelda vibe rather than the, 2D platforming that we saw with Shovel Knight. So it's like they're sticking to the old school vibe, but they're exploring genres within it. And I imagine this is going to be great. I like this is going to be hard to like be bad. Like based on what we've seen from this and like what we know from this is Yacht Club Games, right? Yeah. And funny enough, they always would have a booth at PAX and it was just like Shovel Knight, Shovel Knight, Shovel Knight. Are you ever gonna make another game? Yes, they are. It's Mina the Hollower.
There it is. And apparently it was supposed to come out October 31st, 2025. That's what it said at the end of this
Yeah.
trailer. But I
Yeah,
guess it's coming out
originally,
this year.
and then they delayed it.
Looks awesome though. Definitely something I think we'll be playing on the show, if I had to
Yeah.
guess. But yeah, excited for this one.
Absolutely. And the next is Virtue and a Sledgehammer. What is this? What the heck is this?
Virtue and a sledgehammer. So this is a game about a sledgehammer. No, it looks like a narrative. It's classified as a narrative exploration game. It's kind of interesting. So again, kind of what you were talking about before, right? Or maybe it's a little bit of a story told to you, but the art style seems interesting. Yeah, I don't know. This seems like a game that could be hit or miss, but it is published by Devolver, so it's got that going for it.
Yeah, they tend to really do it. So, I mean, it does look really cool. Like if the gameplay like hits here, I can imagine this game being a big deal this year. Like a couple of these I'm like a little bit like, is this going to be as big of a deal as this article is making out to be? This one I believe, obviously Slay the Spire, Mina the Hollower, probably Cairn, but this is another one that I could see. And then finally we have Witchbrook, which is a kind of like a Stardew Valley style cozy game, which, listen, Stardew Valley is one of the biggest indie games of all time for a good reason. Also, I don't think we talked about it, but it's Concerned Ape who makes Stardew Valley, right? He made like a big donation to the programming like thing that he used to make the game.
I saw
Just like,
that. Yeah.
yeah, just like Concerned Apes always stays winning, I feel like.
Oh, yeah.
Just kind of like the pure indie spirit. But that aside, Witchbrook does look cool. I mean, it's a for a certain kind of player. It has the online co-op, which people will really enjoy. I know they like that in Stardew Valley. Looks neat. I think I could see maybe Lady Juice enjoying it. Maybe Lady Fresh. It's got like some Harry Potter vibes here.
This is I've heard of this game before. I think I've seen it developed on TikTok. Like I get the developer talking about it. But yeah, it's kind of like got the witchy vibes, a little witch life sim essentially. And it is developed by Chucklefish, who they have made a good amount of games. Wild Frost, Starbound,
Wargroove, that's a great game.
Time Spinner. I've never heard of that one, but that just sounds cool. Yeah, you know, I think this is going to have kind of a cult following. It's going to be one of those games, Witchbrook, but I definitely have heard of this one before. So I know people are excited about it. But yeah, seems pretty cool. Hopefully it's good.
I have faith in it. I think it's
Yeah.
gonna be good. Now, we do have a couple of listener questions, and we'll say our goodbyes and recommend something for the road. First comes from R. Carp, who says, with the Animal Crossing New Horizons update going live this month, who is your favorite Animal Crossing villager?
Oh, me? No. My favorite villager.
I will say I'm partial to a lot of the frogs.
You like the frogs? Yeah, I don't know all their names or
Yeah.
anything like that. The
Oh
frogs are
yeah, I
cool.
at the I only know their names while I'm playing and like, you know,
Yeah.
they're in my town, but like Camo Frog was always a cool one. There's the one that's like a robot frog, right? Ribbit, maybe that's what
Oh,
he's
okay.
called.
All right.
I don't remember.
There's one, I like the penguins.
Penguins are cool.
Yeah, what is his name? There's a penguin. He just eats snacks all the time. He's always asking for snacks and stuff. I forget what his name is, but he was a cool one. I also do love, like, if we're counting, the museum guy, the owl, what is his name? I always like scaring him when he's sleeping, all that stuff. Wade is his name, the penguin. He is pro I'll probably go with him because I always, honestly, like most of the villagers, I just like ignore. Or not ignore, but like if they come to me first, basically. But Wade, I'll go out of my way to talk to him because like he just has some funny dialogue. So I'm gonna go with Wade for my favorite villager.
I remember, like, I mean, I think people still do it. They like try to get
Yeah.
all their villagers to be their favorites, right? And they're just like people will freak out if the wrong villager comes, and then like they're like trying to bully them out of the town.
Yeah.
Lucky the dog, the one that is dressed like a mummy, cool,
Oh
very
yeah.
cool. And then I also like all the octopuses, like Octavian, pretty cool. Whenever they have like that really deep voice, kind of makes me
Yeah.
laugh. People love that Raymond cat with like the glasses. Yeah, Ribot was the robot frog. He was sick.
Oh
It's
yeah,
like weird, like you
Ribot.
get these like random, like kind of
I'm gonna
like.
put it up.
Put it up,
There he is, Ribot.
Ribot. Yeah. The
Yeah.
goat right
That's
there.
pretty
Holy
cool.
moly.
That's pretty
Yeah, pretty
cool.
sick. Pretty sick.
Yeah.
Oh
Yeah.
yeah, Wade is the penguin. Wade's pretty
Yeah, that's
sick.
Wade, dude. He's just chilling, man. He's got no pants.
It
I don't know
doesn't
if any
need it.
do any of them?
I don't
Yeah,
think they
some.
do.
I don't know. I don't know.
At one point I think on my island I had Zucker and Octavian, which is the two octopuses.
Oh my. Ooh, that's cool. I've never had an
Zucker.
octopus on my island.
Zucker was
That's awesome.
sick. And
That's awesome.
Octavian, obviously, just cool dude. You know, a little bit, a little chill,
Oh
get some
yeah.
motion.
Yeah. Yeah, look at
But
him. They don't make pants for
no,
them.
they certainly don't. But anywho, next question comes from K. How do you prefer your big soft pretzels, with salt and a cheese dip or cinnamon and a sweet dip?
So I actually if I could do a third option, I prefer my big soft pretzels with spicy mustard, spicy brown mustard, or like just a good like seedy mustard. I love my pretzels with that. Out of those options though, I'll choose the like with salt and a cheese dip over like a cinnamon pretzel with a sweet dip. I'm not really into, I mean, like the cinnamon pretzels and stuff are fine, but I never like order them. Like, honestly, my go-to, if I'm going to like Auntie Anne's, I'm getting a sour cream and onion pretzel. That's my go-to with salt.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's my go-to. But if it were at like a, you know, there's like a German pretzel kind of thing, I always like to dip it in the mustard, and that's usually good. So, yeah.
That's fair. Now, if I'm being forced to have the dip in the situation, I go salt and cheese dip, but a cinnamon sugar Annie Ann's is like one of my all-time favorite snacks.
Really?
I
Okay.
don't dip it in anything. I'm just
Yeah.
going cinnamon and sugar to the dome.
Yeah.
Like, I remember walking around the mall with like the cups of the bites
Yeah, the
and
nuggets.
then the
Yeah.
cinnamon. Yeah, you're just like, oh man. And I would always ch like, you know, I also I like when there's a hot dog in the pretzel bun or in the pretzel.
Yeah.
That's pretty sick.
Yeah.
I'm all about that. A little pepperoni one too is pretty good, but
Ooh.
like cinnamon sugar,
Yeah.
so good.
You know, the other day, well, I guess this was like 2 weeks ago, we ordered garlic knots, regular garlic knots, bit into it, pepperoni in there. We got a little
Whoa.
pepperoni garlic knot, a little extra, and that was pretty good. I've never had those
Wow.
before. I mean, obviously, I know what they taste like, but
A
it was
vegetarian would have been
nice
so
surprise.
pissed.
Yeah, right? Yeah. But
Yeah.
that's not real
Oh man.
meat. Let's be honest, you
That's true.
know?
Yeah, pepperoni.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely not. And then finally from Coppola, we have what will be the indie genre of 2026?
It's
This
gonna
is a good
be
one.
2000s themed anything. No, I don't know. It's tough because I feel like there's just a lot going on and a lot that it has been successful. I don't like I know I mentioned before like extraction shooters are the next kind of big thing, but I don't really view that as like an indie kind of genre, to be honest. Even if some of them are indie. I don't know. I feel like deck builders are kind of like, I just keep seeing cool ones. Like we were talking about another one today that I sent you. Like I just feel like, you know, we're playing Death Howl. Like just different takes on deck builders, I think is gonna be like continue throughout 2026. And you know, we're gonna get Black Jacket. Like there's just gonna be some good deck builder games that are coming out. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if anything else is going to really be more popular than that.
Yeah, I think so. I think that with Balatro being such a big game 2 years ago, I think 2025, we saw a lot of rush to market deck builders,
Yeah.
right? That were just not of the same quality, but if you look at like 2026, you got Slay the Spire 2, right? Which obviously already has like a standing kind of cult following. Not even cult following, it was a huge game. Like you can buy plushes of those characters. I think that's like the mark of like a huge game. There's going to be, you mentioned Black Jacket. There is also Vampire Crawlers.
True. Yeah.
You know, hitting the scene, you know, and then there could be also some surprise ones, right? Like I played a little bit of the Master of Peace, which is kind of a card game, more of a tactical RPG. Moon Sigil Atlas was really cool. There's this Gambonanza game that kind of has that kind of vibe as well. And then there's this game, I think if it comes out this year, could be close to the next Balatro. It's called Seal of Solitude. I played the itch.io like original version. That game was so addicting. And yeah, I think you're probably right with the deck builders. Like we could get like high quality deck builders this year. You know, people are learning to love them. I think Balatro really introduced it to a lot of people,
Yeah.
even in our own circles, right? You know, Kevin and Bags, you know, started playing Balatro and now they're playing like Slay the Spire and you know,
They like
they're asking about other
Blackjacket.
games.
Yeah, it's cool.
So,
Yeah.
but yeah. Good questions. It's time to go to a little place we like to call the Rec Room where we recommend something that perhaps isn't an indie game. I am going to re recommend an indie game. It's called Morsels. We've talked about it. It came out a little while ago. I know it has mixed reviews recently, but I can see why some people wouldn't like this game, but it's so weird. I just kind of keep coming back to it. Yeah. It's like a weird creature collector meets like action RPG roguelike. And then it's got this insane soundtrack and insane like art style. There's something about this game that I just keep coming back to. It's like so unbelievably weird. And I think that if you like games like, you know, maybe like Enter the Gungeon or Binding of Isaac or something like that, I would give this game a shot, especially if you like weird stuff. If you like weird stuff, I mean, if you're watching the YouTube, there's like a burger attacking people with olives. Like, that's insane. This game is so weird. And like, I will say, like, there's something about the soundtrack, I think, is probably one of the biggest thing that keeps me coming back, that brings me back to, like, it's going to sound crazy, but for some reason, it sounds like Putt-Putt.
Okay.
Or like Pajama Sam or something like that. There's something that feels very 1998 about the soundtrack, and I'm loving it. So yeah, Morsels has been a fun little time killer, and it's hard. It is a hard game, so I can understand why people don't like it. But there's just like a lot of depth here. So
hell yeah, yeah. I remember. I mean, this game, just the art style just looks awesome and looks weird and funky, and it'll probably be something I end up playing at some point. But keep me updated on it. Keep me updated, because honestly, even looking at the game, I'm like, this is a creature collector. Really cool.
So like the main mechanic here is like you find cards, and the cards don't really have a lot of info on them. Like, once you collect them, you get like a journal. You can go see what they do. But once you find a card, you turn into that creature, and you can have up to three creatures at a time. When you die as the creature, you lose it, but you still have the other creatures. So when you run out of your creatures, you die for real.
Yeah.
And they all have different attacks and different specials and stuff like that. So like you kind of like will get offered a choice of some creatures that you can pick from once you start getting the hang of what they do and what you like to play as. Like, there was one that like I was like, oh, this one's gonna be really good, but then all it does is just throw a huge volleyball and doesn't come back to you. You have to go grab it and then start throwing it again. Like, it was like very weird. But
yeah that sounds dope. From my side of things, I am recommending, it is a game, it's a fan-made game that I've been following for a while, and it finally came out. It's called Delta Online. It's a Gears of War. Essentially, they took like Gears of War 3, put it on PC, and added a bunch of like quality of life stuff to it that was like never in the original Gears. And then they kind of also, they added like a server browser, which like the original didn't have, or like the original Gears of War had, but not Gears 3. You can unlock characters in the same way you do for Gears, but this is the reason I'm calling it out is because, first off, it plays great. I played a few matches on PC, very surprised at how well it played. I think they essentially like decompiled like the actual Gears files and then rebuilt it. They don't take donations or anything, so it's like totally free, but you have to join their Discord in order to get it. That's the only official way to do it. Don't get it any other way. But as of right now, I think they paused registrations because they expected, I think they said a few hundred people would be interested. There's the first day, over 10,000 people joined the Discord.
Jeez.
And they're like just a small team of fans. Like, they don't, you know, they're like, we need to pause this so that we can try to fix all these server issues that are happening. I have no idea how much it's even, I don't even know if it is costing them any, like, you know, server costs, because everything is, you know, I can just host the game myself. But it's really awesome. It's honestly, I've seen a lot of people say that this is like the best Gears game that's come out in a while. Gears of War 3 is like my favorite Gears game. And this is just really awesome to see. I hope it doesn't ever get like taken down. You know, it's got PvP, it's got Horde, Beast mode, it's got a Rebirth mode. I don't even know what that is. That's like something new. So I'm going to be playing it whenever I feel like playing Gears. I already got it. And just a really cool project. I love these fan-made projects that come out. We talked about Pokemon Lazarus. That's another cool one. But this one, I just feel like it's just such on a bigger scale because, like, you don't really see, like, this game was never on PC in the first place, and now you can play it on there. So awesome job by them, and hopefully they end up opening up registrations and everything kind of goes smoothly from there. But just want to give a shout out to Delta Online. Any Gears of War fans out there, highly recommend checking it out if you can. Yeah, there you go. Just a cool project.
Yeah, that seems awesome. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty insane. I can't, it feels like that moment in The Bear, if you remember, in like the early season when they turned on online orders and just like,
yeah,
they're like, oh no, shut it off.
Yeah, yep, that's exactly like what happened. They had to like restructure their entire Discord because they were like, we weren't prepared for like this, this influx of players coming in. But it also just goes to show you that, like, hey, maybe the fans know what they're talking about because they've had all this interest, right? And Gears has kind of fallen a little flat in the previous releases. So, you know, maybe hire these people. You know, they clearly know what the fans want. So anyway, very cool project. But
yes,
there we go.
Another good episode in the books. We're going to be playing Dune Crawl for next week. You can find me on all socials at Fresh Buds Pod. I have another podcast called Fresh and Buds, where I talk about a game called Flesh and Blood. This week, I have my first guest ever back on the show. He's been on multiple times. Taylor Morrow, just one of the best buds I've made in the game. And we just get a little silly and we just laugh. We just laugh for a whole hour. So if you want to hear a whole hour of laughing, hop on to that. But we got some great stuff coming out there as well. But if you want to follow us on all socials, it's Fresh Juice Pod. Matthew, where can people find you?
Find me at Matty Gorm, GRM, on all socials, other than Instagram, at a YT at the end. Yeah, go check out my survival videos and all that sort of stuff. So, boom.
Boom. Stay juicy, juice heads.